Welcome to a very special mini-sode of the Amazingly Average Show. Like we did a few weeks ago with Dan, we are joined this week by Scott.
Hey.
And this is just going to be a brief introduction to Scott, just trying to get to know him better. And, okay, we'll kick this off. Just throwing you into the deep end.
Cool.
We know you're a big fan of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and we found it on your recently hosted podcast. So
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question and see if you have an answer. In all of fiction, books, comics, movies, TV shows, whatever, who is your favorite fictional character?
Oh, well, I can give you the definite off the top of my head answer because this character he's always been a part of my life. I've always strangely looked up to him and I've always thought he was awesome, and that would have to be hands down Darth Vader.
That is not where. Okay, that is where I expected to go because it's you, but I don't think that's what most people would have suspected for an answer.
I don't think that either. If you gave me like a full day where I could, go back and be like, oh yeah, I read this book, I watched this TV show, I watched this movie, I might be able to find a character who I might better align with, but there's no other character that I can remember loving as a character from my childhood. Like Darth Vader, I've always been a fan of Darth Vader. I've always been evil. It's just, I was born that way.
Baby, I was born that way. Okay, so the question is, why do you love Darth Vader so much?
Well, I really appreciate the fact that he's evil and he's essentially unapologetically evil, which is, hard to come by. But then you find out, that he has a backstory. I mean, this is before like the prequels. This is before we knew anything about his youth. I was, the first episode one came out in 99. I was 8. I remember going to see that. I don't remember much, but I remember knowing that Darth Vader, was my favorite character. And I like how intimidating he is and how powerful he is. He doesn't always show how powerful he is, but he is, and he's just a badass. I mean, not many characters you can just look at and be like, that guy is evil and I don't want to mess with him.
Okay.
So.
A follow-up question to that. What
Okay.
would you say is the best version of Darth Vader? I mean, is it Empire? Is it the original Star Wars? Is it a book? Is it a game?
Strangely enough, I think that I would either say his portrayal in Empire Strikes Back is the best, but I have to say a strong contender would be the Star Wars comics that have been being made by Marvel. When Disney bought Marvel and Star Wars, they made it so that Marvel would be doing the Star Wars comics and they would all be official canon. So I was reading the Darth Vader series, which has like 18 issues or like 19 or 20 or something like that right
25
now.
issues. The season finale or whatever equivalent was, as of this recording, it came out this week, issue 25.
Oh yeah, I heard that was happening. I have the Marvel Unlimited Plus service, so I can read all the comics online up to a certain point, and the most recent one there is number 18 or 19, and I think it really explores the another side of Darth Vader, and it goes and tries to bridge a lot of the gap between the prequels, what happened in them, and the original trilogy, and at one point really showcases Darth Vader's power and why he is so respected and feared. So I think that was a really good portrayal.
One more Darth Vader question, then we'll probably move on. I mean, I guess I know. I don't think anybody listening necessarily knows. You're into cosplay. Have you ever dressed up as
Yes.
Darth Vader? I know you dressed up as Anakin this year.
Which can technically be also considered a Darth Vader cosplay, since when
Well, I mean,
Anakin is.
according to Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Vader killed Anakin Skywalker.
Which is true, but for a very brief time, after Darth Vader is, when Anakin Skywalker is anointed Darth Vader, he is in his normal, unmutilated body. The only thing weird about it is the scar and his missing hand. So that character is Anakin Skywalker and then becomes Darth Vader for, a limited time before he is, mutilated like that, and then he is put into the suit. So I can say technically it's also a Darth Vader cosplay, but actually if hard pressed to it, I would not consider it one. But I'm definitely open to the idea.
Okay. So I guess on the other end of the spectrum, what is a franchise or a property that is famous and well beloved, but you just never were able to get into?
That's a good question. I'd have to say, what came immediately to mind, and it's only because the name is so similar, is Star Trek. And it's nothing against the series, it's nothing against the characters, nothing against the writing or the story, nothing against any of that. What's been so difficult for me to get into it is that I had like I tried a couple years back, I tried, but I think because I had no background, no history with these, the movies and the TV shows, the episodes, because I had no history, it was hard for me to get into the older ones. Part of watching the older Star Wars episodes for me is the fact that it's part of my childhood. And with Star Trek, it's just never been the case. But even the new ones, the new movies that came out, they're okay. I like them. I'd watch them again, but I just never really got into them. And like I said, it's nothing against the shows, and something against the movies. I think that from what I know of them, they seem good. You don't have a fan base like that, and have a bad series, I would hope. Then again, there's like Twilight, but
I mean,
whatever.
it has its audience. We're not going to Twilight shame here, because I honestly don't think we're ever going to talk about Twilight to be
Honestly,
concerned with
no, and
that.
I actually haven't watched it or read the books, so I'm not going to actually pass judgment anyway.
I've seen a movie. I'm never going to talk about that again.
Fair enough.
And I guess on that note, to kind of circle back to where this is the question I asked Dan, and this is kind of more general purpose for this show and kind of where we're going in the future. If you were to say that you had one kind of nerdy hobby, if it's video games, if it's comic books, if it's movies, what would be that one hobby? What would you say is your, I guess your key area of focus?
I'd probably say video games would be my key nerdy focus. Obviously, over the years, I've developed more than just the video games one. But video games I can remember playing from a very early age, and it's always played some role in my life. Yeah, there's been times when it's been my entire life, and then there's times like now when I use it when I play them when I have a moment and I can escape and I can just have fun. But I would definitely say video games 100%.
And to tie it all together, what is the best Star Wars game to date?
Oh, that's a question. I really haven't played too many Star Wars games, actually. The ones
That's
I've played the
surprising.
most of, I know it is surprising. I've played a little bit of Force Unleashed. I played Knights of the Old Republic. And I played some Star Wars pinball game on my PS Vita, which I loved. It was amazing. But I'd have to say, based on just, my experiences, I think KOTOR is a pretty good game. It was good, like role playing sort of game. I got immersed into it long after it came out, which says a lot because I like older games, but it's difficult for me to get into older games that I hadn't played when I was younger, and that's KOTOR fell into that category. But I really got into that game. I can't remember. It must have been like 5 years ago or something when I was playing that game. So I think that was a good game. I liked Force Unleashed, but not really the story. And I like how it's not canon, so
Well,
that makes me happy.
I thought it was intended to be canon.
I think it was when it was made, but then Disney bought Star Wars. I think that's how I end a lot of conversations about old canon. Like talking about oh, Grand Admiral Thrawn, he was leading the remnants of the Empire, and then Disney bought Star Wars.
It's like when the Fire Nation attacked.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Force Unleashed, it could have been canon, and they could probably have squeezed they probably squeezed it in before Disney bought Star Wars, and it still didn't really make sense because there was a lot that Starkiller did, and I feel like it, like the amount of presence that he had in that game, in the Star Wars universe, you would have believed that he should have been mentioned in the movies, which, obviously he wasn't.
Well, I mean,
So
you can kind of say the same thing about Ahsoka from the Clone Wars.
that is true, but unfortunately. Well, fortunately for the Clone Wars and Ahsoka, that has been deemed official canon, so I can't really argue or anything. You would imagine that Ahsoka would have been mentioned, but also we have to remember that there's a lot of time that transpires between the beginning of Episode 3 and the end, because Padme goes from barely pregnant to giving birth throughout the entire movie. So a lot of time passes.
Yeah, but you would still think Anakin would mention his old Padawan. Like, I don't even know if they make reference to the fact that he trained anybody while he was a Jedi.
They don't mention it, and you would imagine that they would have alluded to it better, but I think that because so much time passed in that movie that we can be given the bits and pieces saying that maybe they were discussing it outside, off screen. I don't like using that excuse, but since Clone Wars is official canon, I kind of do have to give it the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it is said, basically, whenever a Jedi becomes a knight, part of their transition to become a Jedi master is training a Padawan. That's why when Obi-Wan became a Jedi Knight, he adopted Anakin as his Padawan. So part of becoming a master is teaching so that you can learn. So it's you have to kind of know that though about the Jedi Order in order to be able to be like, oh, he must have trained someone. And it's also part of the reason why Anakin was so disheartened when he wasn't granted the rank of master when he joined the council. Because he did the work, he trained someone, and he's also extremely powerful, and they didn't give him the job. So, like when you feel like you're qualified for a job, like a position, and they don't give it to you, but
Everybody that
yeah.
you thought doesn't deserve it. I mean, I didn't
Exactly. Like the best way I can imagine is like a really bad tenured professor at a college, and then you're this new guy with all the credentials, and then you get like the adjunct position, which you lose in 2 years. That's what I can compare it to.
Fair enough. On that note, one final question, and then I guess we can begin wrapping up. You just recently hosted your first episode, which is focused on Lord of the Rings. I was there. I say I was there because I did nothing there. What do you find in your fandom, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, or whatever? Like, what is the strangest thing you've had to explain to people and be like, yes, this is for real, this is actually what happened? Is there anything that sticks out in your head?
Honestly, I think it's because it was so recent, but I think that explaining to you the backstory during that podcast, explaining the backstory, the ancient backstory of Lord of the Rings, your reaction to that was like, oh, this sounds made up. I think that was one of the best sorts of reactions I've ever received when talking about that. You're also one of the only people who's managed to sit through that long of a conversation about it, who doesn't already have an interest in Lord of the Rings, or more than like a passing interest. So, but generally, when I talk about the intricacies of Star Wars, which is very rare when I'm not talking to like you guys or some of the good friends I have, I get a lot of weird looks when I talk about start naming the planets in the Star Wars universe and talking about Darth Vader and having Darth Vader as my desktop background at work. That kind of stuff. People are weirded out by it, which
Well,
I'm okay with.
that's the different type of weirded out. That's not, people know who Darth Vader is. I think it would be like if somebody idolized the Joker. You'd question them.
I guess to an extent. Well, I feel like the only question I'd actually have would be, oh, why do you like the Joker? And then I'd hear them out. And if it sounds like they're going down that same path in a bad way, then maybe I'd be weirded out. But, the Joker's actually a pretty good character.
No,
I
he's
like
not.
him. Well, not like good, like aligned good, but he's interesting. I can see why people would like him as a character.
I don't, but that's a topic for another day.
Well, remember, I align evil. I
But
like
you
villains.
see, and this is a topic for another day. But you understand that. You understand that these people are not good. Like, your defense of Darth Vader wasn't I know he's Anakin, I know he's troubled, and I just want to. Your thing is that he's unrelentingly evil and he's powerful. Like, there are people who like villains because they feel like they can be redeemed, and I think we've gotten to a point where we don't let villains be villains. We don't let people be evil. And you need that. Like, if you're going to have somebody who's going to be the ultimate good, you need somebody on the other end of the spectrum to be the ultimate bad.
Exactly.
It's
You
kind
need
of.
that kind of balance.
And we've had this discussion kind of with our Star Wars podcast series, in that one of the biggest values of the prequel trilogies is explaining Darth Vader. You don't. Like, you explain him, you take away part of his mystique. You don't need to understand why he's evil, especially with the reasons they give. It's the same
Yeah.
issue I have with the Halloween remake, is that it tries to explain why Michael Myers is evil. And it's like, we don't want that explanation because we don't want to understand evil. We don't want to, if we don't, because what tends to happen is nobody has a good reason. I mean, DC has done a good job of keeping the Joker's origin kind of mysterious for 70 some odd years. And they explain it, but they just as quickly explain it away, like, this is his version of it, and they'll give you like 50 different versions of that.
Right, kind of like how in The Dark Knight, the movie, the Joker wouldn't give an exact backstory. He kept making it up, and I think that's, because it doesn't matter. That's ultimately the point. That's the point that he was trying to give, that it doesn't matter what my backstory is. The fact is, I am going to blow up a hospital. That's the point. Like, I don't care what I'm doing. We don't Who cares about what's going on? But even then, what I also like about villains, and even the ones that are unapologetic, is a lot of the times they have similar origin stories to heroes.
And I mean, those are the best villains. I mean, and like I said, topic for another day. But like, you look at like comic books, that's kind of where I am. Yeah, a lot of them are kind of goofy, but you look at them, like, most of Spider-Man's villains are the opposite of him, in that they're a science experiment that went wrong, but they use their powers for evil. Most of Batman's villains are the opposite of him. They are everybody in the Batman universe is psychologically scarred in some way. Batman just channels his towards beating them up, and they kind of use it for evil. Superman, you know, is kind of, you know, Superman is an interesting one because his biggest villain is the guy with no powers. So like, how can somebody with the powers of a guard fight somebody who has no powers? And it's a struggle that they've made interesting for almost 80 years now, because the X doesn't fight him on brawn, he fights him with brains. And Superman, it frustrates Superman that he can't really bust him most of the time.
Yeah. And that's why I like, you know, I don't think of myself as actually evil, but I do appreciate when a villain is just, you know, I'm evil and that's just what I do. I mean, ultimately Darth Vader does, you know, redeem himself.
But even then, does he redeem himself? Because he turns against... There's no real indication that he turns against the... Like, there's no real... that he turns against evil. He just turns against his master.
That's true. That is true. He chooses his son over his sworn master. And, you know, it's not necessarily aligning good, choosing your child, because you could be evil and you just like your kids, you know? So I don't think Darth Vader, you know, necessarily, you know, redeemed himself. I think the only thing that happened is he fulfilled his destiny, which was to bring balance to the Force. He destroyed the Jedi, which is bad, and he destroyed the Sith, which is good. So I'd say he's neutral, if you ask me. Obviously a joke, he is evil.
But, I mean, I would like to thank you for joining us, and
that's
it. Scott, along with Dan and myself, will be back for another wonderful, amazingly average show. Until then, auf Wiedersehen!
Perfect.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know. Oh, Scotty doesn't know. So don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Fiona says she's out shopping, but she's on her knees. Stopping. Cause Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know. So don't tell Scotty, Scotty doesn't know. I can't believe he's so trusting. While I'm right behind you thrusting. Fiona's got him on the phone, yeah, she's trying not to moan. It's a three-way call and he knows nothing, nothing. Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know. Don't tell Scotty, cause Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know. So don't tell Scotty, we'll put on a show. It's so cool when you're on top. His front lawn in the snow. Life is so hard, cause Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know.